Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with
So today we are joined by one of my favourite people that I've met on LinkedIn. When we first started the business, he was one of the first people I actually called, and nearly a year later, we are looking forward to getting into his mind and finding out a little bit more about him and what he gets up to. So he's a man of many talents, from breathwork to hypno to the 555 Club. Please welcome this week's guest, is Sean Doherty. Sean, how are you?
Very good, gentlemen. Lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. I remember back in January, I was new to LinkedIn. I didn't really know what I was doing. And I saw that you were doing the 555 Club. And me and Zaka, we have a lot of interest in kind of that kind of thing when it comes to gratitude and journaling. And I saw that, I was like, I don't even know if we'd work together, but I just want to chat to this guy. So I couldn't find your mobile anywhere. And I remember I sent you a message.
I actually went back and dug out that message. Because I've closed the LinkedIn tab, so it won't interrupt.
I actually had a message from Sean after you did that, saying that you were really good and you were going to do well.
Yeah.
That's very kind. It's a real love fest.
There we go. And you introduced me to the voice note. You sent me a voice note. You're like, I just like sending these. I was like, oh, I didn't know how I feel about that, but you made me feel comfortable. So it's been great to know you. And LinkedIn can be a funny thing because although we had a conversation, we kind of got to know each other, you feel like you get to know each other and you're checking on their lives and you get to see what people are doing. So it's been great to see you go from success to success. So I guess to start off, to anyone that's listening that doesn't know about you, so in a nutshell, what is it that you do and how do you spend most of your days?
Now that's a good nutshell. So what is it I do? The principal would be the owner, and like I started the 555 Club, which was designed to take an alternative spin on workplace wellness, or just wellness in general, not even workplace. What I had seen was often there's a lot of emphasis put on one day a quarter or some big event, get somebody in to talk. And there's a lot of reactive solutions, but nothing really proactive. And the 555 Club started as an accident. It started as a free Instagram live that I was doing every morning. It developed from that into in-person work. From that, got to the point where I realized I couldn't scale beyond myself, and then led to what it is today, which is five times a day, 5 times a week, with 5 minutes of breath work, 5 minutes of meditation, and 5 minutes of gratitude journaling for staff, team members to drop in, give themselves 15 minutes and then either get back in the game or switch off at the end of the day, or bookmark their day, whatever they need from it.
Wow. And I'm guessing you've got your own history with wellness and mental health that inspired you to go on this journey.
Yes, I do. One of the first times I did this live in person, there was this lady, she was about, I'd say, in her early 70s, had a wool blanket over her knee, and she told me at the end of it, after I did the 555 and then I gave my story, and she says, you should really lead with your story first because I thought you were full of shit, and now that I know your story I was like, okay. So I came through this like a very long and winding road of cancer and then recovery through cancer, found breath work on that journey, found cold exposure on that journey. And gratitude for me played a big part of it, sort of realizing, how lucky I was through it, the people I've met through it, how it changed my life. Like, ultimately, I wouldn't be here. I'd still be on a construction site in London if it didn't happen. I'd probably be 5-6 stone overweight, probably still drinking the weekends, probably still living the same life I was living 12 years ago. Through all that, found breathwork, found all really the little bits and pieces, then came out qualified as a financial advisor in 2017, started at 30 years old, did that for a couple of years, and got to the point where it was, found myself not happy, to be honest. And I reflected back, 2012, 2013, going through radiotherapy, stem cell transplants. It wasn't easy, but I had quite a lot of joy in my life at the time. I was quite content where I was. And when I journaled on why the hell was this, I wasn't setting myself huge goals. I wasn't marking against where I needed to be. I was simply taking it, you know what, today was good, and I will deal with tomorrow if and when it comes. And I used to have friends talking about holidays in 6 months' time, and I was thinking, he's fucking crazy. Like, you could be dead and buried by that stage, like genuinely baffled by it. Like, are you living 6 months ahead of yourself? And then, of course, you get into the working world and you think, oh, shit, I should be earning twice as much as I am. I should be on deadlines and targets. And you're always future pacing yourself. And don't get me wrong, I still do that today. It's like, you know, you're taking people through a meditation in the morning and you've got a to-do list in front of you for the day. You know, you need both. You can't just live on one side of it. But yeah, that was the slow journey. And then probably January last year, February last year, was whenever I'd moved to a sales company with a trainer, Marcus Cocky. I was working with Marcus. That company ran out of money. We were all let go like 6 weeks after we were hired, just a blanket phone call to everyone. And I decided, you know what, there's never going to be a good time to start. And that sort of took me down the road. And then many iterations later, the 555 Club became a business. And then the hypnotherapy has joined that in the last few months. And yeah, really, really enjoying how things are going.
Wow. So through, I suppose, through what some people might perceive as misfortune, I mean, you know, cancer, being let go from a job was the way you ended up then. You've always managed to give kind of a positive spin. Was that always there, or have you always been that kind of person?
Yeah, most of my life. Probably, and this is going to sound... if you've ever read the book Mindset by Carl Dweck, I definitely had a fixed mindset most of my life. It was like I was talented enough to get by just doing enough in school. And I used to actually say, I had a saying that anything above 40% is a waste of effort. And I used to like brag at that. It's like, you know, if I can just pass, get me through so I don't have to reset the exams, beautiful. And then my attitude was always, you know, when I get to work, then I'll apply myself and then I'll become. And then you realize that that's not actually how the world works. It's like, and something I heard in the last week or two, it's like, pick when you want it to be challenging, because it's going to be challenging. You can pick it challenging in the study and the build up and then go through the exam quite easily. Or you can take it easy in the study and the build up and you're going to find the exam and the results challenging. The challenge is coming. Just pick when you want it. And I always picked the second one. But I always had this firm belief that, I've been very fortunate with the people I've met. Always played a bit of football. So when you move to London, move to a new city, you just join a five-a-side club. And within 2 or 3 weeks, you've got 5 or 6 new friends that you didn't have before. Always played a bit of music. Same thing. You go to a house party, pick up a guitar, end of the night, 2 or 3 people. And then just that communication, talking. So, yeah, I've always... sort of landed on my feet. I don't know if you'd call cancer at 24 and then not working to 30 landing on your feet, but it kind of was that way. You know, I met my wife through it. I met some of my closest friends through it. Even, you know, down to it's three years ago as we're talking this today that I was in London at Benjamin's first workshop. Met a few fellas through that and are now friends to this day. It comes down to what you want to look at, really. You know, you could easily put your head in the sand and find the negatives in it. And quite often in the moment, you're not going to see the positives. But if you zoom out far enough, you're going to find some silver lining there. You're probably just looking at the cloud. Keep zooming out. You know, the whole sky isn't cloud. Keep zooming out. You'll find the silver lining.
I love it. And I think you're talking to two people that I think we are so big on perspective, especially from a cold calling side of things as well, but actually just in life. So I guess I don't want to talk about it too much, but going through that kind of experience, obviously there was probably things that you were doing like daily habits and rituals that I'm sure that you do now and you kind of implement and you promote. But when you were going through cancer and therapy and things like that, what kind of things were you doing to make sure that you were focusing with the best perspective and putting your best foot forward at all times?
Yeah, and I want to touch as well on one of the things that you almost facetiously talk about is death, but it's like, I want to come to that because it's so freeing once you acknowledge that. But for the first
death.
But for the first 2 years, First of all, my diagnosis was a very positive one, in inverted commas. I was told, if you're going to get cancer, this is the one you want. You'll be back in London in a few months, flying it, 90-95% sail through it. You're 24, you're fit, you're strong, laughing. I fell into the 5% that didn't.
Wow.
So initially, like, I did everything I was told to the letter of the law continually. I had no idea, genuinely didn't have any idea that what you were eating was actually affecting your body. You know, like, people say, like, you know, do you miss having a McDonald's? Like, I've tidied up my diet a lot. I don't drink. I don't any of those things. And it's like, I don't at all. It's like, I miss the convenience of McDonald's. I miss the ignorance I had around McDonald's, but I don't miss the food. So for the first 2 or 3 years, I just ad-lived like I did before, but going through cancer. And then October 2013, I was told, there's nothing we can do for you. And that was after... it was after a year and a half, two years and a few months of treatment. So like, I dropped over 20 kilos, body completely, you know, your body image completely changed, gone from a full head of hair to totally bald, which I've since found out was genetic, which was another crushing blow. And then you sort of realize, okay, do I accept this as it is, or do I see what I can do? And for me, it was, you know what, I'm going to see. And then I just started Googling alternative cancer survival, people who've done different things. And I want to preface any of this conversation with, I was so lucky. You know, to me, anyone who comes through it, there's a lot of luck. Like, people say, you know, I kicked cancer's ass. It's like, no, it's like, you survived with your life. You got out. you know. I was quite, going into scans, I used to say to people, like, they'd say good luck, and I would tell them, luck is for the ill-prepared. And after about 3 years of shit scan results, I stopped saying that. It's like, give me all the fucking luck you have. it's like, I will take a backpack of luck into the scan if I can get it. And I maintain that to this day. So a lady actually said to me recently on a reply to a LinkedIn, it's like, there's no such thing as luck. And it's like, well, if there's no such thing as luck, then you can't be lucky. And I want to be lucky. I firmly believe in it. But so prefacing with that, like, some situations are just shit. And I had a lot of luck, but then started changing my diet, started being aware of even how I talked about myself, which I'm so passionate about now, in terms of, especially with the hypno work, the words you use. My Twitter handle was Chancer Patient, which is cancer with a H. Like, I sort of built an identity of, look, I can go through this and still be great fun and all that. Like, I cleared the Twitter handle. I threw out clothes. I stopped doing things. I actually messaged a friend and says, I am not identifying as a cancer patient from this day forward. I'm just going to take a drink of water. I don't properly produce saliva since radiotherapy. And that's something I would say to anybody. Like, be cautious of how you're framing yourself. It's like, if you're going through a challenging situation, who are you surrounding yourself with? Like, I'm sure you see it in your sales team. Like, who do you want your people hanging around with? Who do you want them learning from? What do you want them saying about themselves? Because it's going to manifest over time how they're talking, what they're saying. Like, if you have someone on a Monday morning comes in stone negative, and that turns into 2 and 3 and 4, that's not going to lead to positive cold calls on Tuesday afternoon. That's going to rot through the whole team. Versus if you've got this stupidly optimistic, can take 1,000 no's all day long and book a meeting Friday evening. And it...
Yeah, that does. I actually was talking to one of our guys yesterday, who looked like he was in a bit of a rut, and I just asked him, what story are you telling yourself? And it was, he'd opened up about how it was, that he wasn't good enough, he was expecting to kind of blow the doors off, be the best person in the team, but that was the story he was telling himself, because he'd come in and it wasn't working, and then he got himself in that rut. That was the story. So it's something that we talk about a lot, is it's very easy to slip into that, where really the next call could be the guy who's got the problem that you solve, and he's banging his head against the wall and doesn't know how to fix it. You're only ever kind of one call away. But interestingly, yeah, when we listened to it, from the time he told me that that's how he was feeling, or I noticed that's how he was feeling, there was a big change. And the calls, even that were maybe having the what we would perceive as a positive outcome, because of his mindset, he was closing the door quite quickly, he was doubting himself, he wasn't asking the tough questions. So it's amazing how that story that you're telling yourself just impacts everything. And then obviously the worst part is when it perforates around the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And you start to notice the person next to him feels tense as well, you know?
Yeah. And if you're, like, I know you guys have studied a lot of Benjamin stuff and Sandler stuff. And for me, one of the most powerful things that David Sandler talked about was the IR theory, like your identity and your role. You know, don't confuse what you do with who you are. It's challenging, especially if you're not at your numbers, if you're not, you know, bringing in the money every month. It's challenging. But who you are as a salesperson does not define who you are as a person in any way, shape, or form. You might have had a crap week. It just means you had a crap week selling. That's it. You're still a rock star on a Saturday night.
There's nothing more than that.
You know, you're still, you know, you're still a rock star on Friday night. It just means you had a crap week selling. And the, you know, the beautiful and the worst thing about selling is it starts again at zero. Clean slate. Let's go again. What have you learned? What were your lessons yesterday? What can you take from yesterday that can help you today, help you tomorrow, you in 10 years' time?
What are your views on, we talk about this a lot and bang this around a lot, your views on motivation?
not a massive fan. Because I'm on my own journey with, you know, and this is again, this is a contradiction, but I'm looking to build my body back roughly to where it was before it was all wasted away. So slowing the gym. It's like, if I train when I'm motivated, there's nothing changing. Because I'm motivated maybe, you know, I find myself motivating a Saturday night after an ice cream. It's like, oh, Monday morning, I'm going to rip that up. Monday morning comes around, it's like, oh, fuck no, it's fine. Again, one of the things I think Sandler talks about is that you can act your way into a better feeling, but you can't feel your way into a better action. So if you don't want to pick up the phone, if you actually just do it for an hour, you're going to feel, you know, yourself, you do it. And if you get 10 people telling you to piss off and one person having a conversation, but you're not actually a good fit, you know that you've done the right thing. And you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I did what I was said I was going to do, and that was I'm going to have 5 conversations with decision makers in my target market. That's it. Done it.
It's so true. I was saying to my partner yesterday, she was like, I want to start yoga early mornings, but I can't. I don't really like getting up in the morning, blah, blah. And it's that kind of thing of like, okay, why don't you get up, put your yoga stuff on, put it on the TV and sit there. If at that point that you're sat in front of a yoga teacher in your yoga clothes and you don't want to do it, don't do it. Like the story, like you were going back to what it is, the story you tell yourself. Some days I say, just get to the gym. And if you don't want to do anything when you're there, you don't have to. You can go home. Guess what? The first thing you want to do when you get in the gym, maybe the vending machine. But then, do you know what I mean? But then it's just like, it is. There is no difference. Everybody looks at these entrepreneurs that are doing these crazy different things. And I'm not going to say everyone has the same 24 hours in the day as Beyonce, because the lottery of life is a lot to play, and luck is a lot to play as well, but a lot of it boils down to your mindset and the story that you tell each other, the story that you tell yourself. And it's, I think, and we can talk, I'd happily take the topic back to death, because you said obviously it can sometimes come across when you post about it on LinkedIn that I'm like taking the piss out of it, but we have such conversations about it. It's the mindset's there. It's just one day there's going to be no choice. So really, what are you doing? And you sat there worrying about it. One day these worries won't exist.
There's two metrics that I stopped counting because it was just depressing. One was the people who I shared wards with when I was going through my journey who have passed away. I used to keep that. He's gone. She's gone. It's like, no, stop it. And the other one is people that felt sorry for me, that prayed for me, that sent me good wishes, who are since, and I mean older and younger than me, who are now gone. And any time, it's like, I'd always remember, like, if someone, I had a really good friend's wife die recently. And my thought was, okay, when I was diagnosed 24, she'd have been late teens, oblivious to what was going on with me, probably through my journey, might have felt sorry. It's like, I'm here, she's not. That is total luck on my part. But like, you get so, everything is so important. And that's why I love traveling too. Go to China. Nobody knows your name. Nobody knows you exist. Anything you do here doesn't impact them in the least. Go to China. Go the next town over. Nobody knows who you are. It doesn't give a toss. Like, at your funeral, there might be, what, 100 people? And that's the entirety of your world.
There's a big old world out there.
But it's that thinking that what you're doing is really, 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 really important. And then building that story up of, if I look stupid, if I mess it up, what if they think, what if I do this wrong, and it's just this cage you build up around yourself. But that was something I used to actually go, and it sounds so depressing, but when I was walking the dogs and you walk past the graveyard, like looking at the dates and the names, it's like, this is where we're going. It doesn't matter what path you take, this is where you're ending up. So like, how much of it can you, and it has helped me greatly. And you know, it's not an easy thing, as you know, sort of stepping off that cliff and trying to give it a whirl. And there's been more times over the last year, it's a year now in October, I started the 555 Club. It's like, you know, it's like, this isn't working. Go through. And I would just say, well, then quit. Nobody's making you do this. Stop. Go get a job. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. Okay, then stop complaining and get back to work.
I love that. And it's so, it goes back, the language you're telling yourself. And I think me and Zach have had a conversation. Okay. I said to him once, I was like, but this big client, that we, what happens if we lose them? And what happens? Then we'll go and get another big client. No, it's not that easy. Well, we've done it once, we'll do it again. But then if we lose them, we'll do it again. Cool, big deal. And what happens? The company goes bust, we go bankrupt, me and Zach get arrested, we end up sharing a cell together. Yeah. Is that the worst that happens? Well, no, one day we're all going to die, so big though. Deal. Just enjoy it while you can. It's...
it helps whenever you zoom out, but whenever you're in the middle of a challenging situation, it doesn't help someone. Like, sometimes you just need to understand, okay, you feel down, allow yourself to feel it. What have you learned from it? Sit in it, acknowledge that it's crap, and then when you're ready, pick yourself up and move on. Or maybe just slightly before you're ready. You know, just that 90% ready, okay, let's go again. But, sorry,
If you compare yourself now to maybe years ago, from what you've been through and kind of the mindset that you've kind of taught yourself and all the work that you put in, do you find that you bounce back quicker now than you used to? If in a challenging situation, do you know, I've got the tools, let me apply them, bang, feel it, bang them out.
Because the biggest thing that has changed for me, it was the first time, it was a kinesiologist said to me, and that's someone who basically tests you for intolerances. But she said, and this is after I was told there's nothing we can do for you, she says, everything you've done in your life has taken you to this point where you are now. Every decision you've made has taken you to where you are now. So I was like, so are you saying it's my fault? And I was like, how fucking dare you? And then I sort of sat with that and went through it and worked with it. And it's like, okay, every decision I've made, it's like, yeah, well, I can't really argue with that. Because my doctor just told me this is total bad luck. When in reality, I was in a job that I was like stressed, like really, really, I was underperforming, I was stressed. And then because I was doing that, I was drinking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, most Sundays, and then rinse that around. And that was just what everyone was doing. So it's like, okay, if you remove that, if you remove the drinking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you're getting to bed early, and you're eating good food, and you're training 3 times a week, and you're studying, and you're asking your manager and your boss and those ahead of you, where could I improve here? What have I messed up on? What have I missed? Last week I did this good. What could have been better? If 23-year-old Sean had that mentality, rather than why is he making 42 grand and I'm not even making 30 grand yet? What is he, you know, always looking at somebody else. The big thing for me is turning it around, that like you've more control than you think you do in most situations. It doesn't always mean you're going to get the outcome you want, but whenever you sort of turn the spotlight back around on yourself, it's like, you know, you're the main character in this film, whatever your film is, and you get to write whichever way you respond, you get to write whichever way you come back on. And sometimes, like, one of the core things through the breathwork training was feel your feelings. Like, if you're pissed off, let yourself be pissed off. If you're sad, let yourself be sad. If you're angry, let yourself be angry. Don't try and push it down. Don't try and ignore it, because all that will come back up. And like Gabor Mata, he's doing the rounds and all the podcasts now, talks a lot about that. Like, if you push the anger down, it's going to manifest somewhere else. So yeah, that has been the big thing for me, is that actually acknowledging it's probably my fault why I'm here, rather than blaming the question that came up wrong in the exam versus, okay, I didn't study a third of the text, so that's probably why the questions came up wrong.
Gabor Mate is one of my favourites. One of my favourites.
Like him that way.
Addiction. I made sure I really consumed a lot of his stuff before I became a dad. It was very, very helpful stuff. And the it works. I think it works with all ages. And like Jack's always talked about this with the team. Like, and also the clients that we've got. Sometimes you need to remember that people have got that little six-year-old in them that comes to work with them sometimes and carries their own burdens. And we tell our own team, you know, you catch someone and they're telling you to fuck off on the phone. Probably a reason why they're being like that. People don't just wake up and tell people to fuck off on the phone, and I can't wait to do that. I love doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've got any insight on this, Sean, but let's say, taking that example, if I've got like suddenly I'm so pissed off, someone's just been so rude to you on the phone, or I'm one of our team members and someone's been so rude and it's really affected me, they've said something I've taken quite personally. Have you got any sort of SOS emergency tactics to get me back to baseline? What do you advise someone to do in those situations?
The first thing for me, and this would be, what do you normally do in that situation? How does it normally pan out? Is the whole day written off? Is you know, is the week written off? Do you then carry that in and then, you know, claim, you know, get your own strike back on the next person and possibly burn a commission check, but you've, you know, but you've got your needs met? So how are they, what's their go-to before that? And put a bit of time between. Like, that's one of the things through meditation, is the pause, like that pause, take a breath before you, you know, it's moving to, can you respond and not react? Can you just slow it down? It doesn't need to all happen right now. If you're pissed off, chances are, if you go for a 5-minute walk, have a coffee, have a smoke, if that's your thing, whatever it is, clear the head. Yes, you've probably missed out on 2 or 3 cold calls, but you're coming back 10 times more efficient than you left. But that's going to come down to the person. It's going to come down to the management style. It's going to come down to how they normally react. And then it's, are they angry? Have they taken it personally? Do they think it's, you know, because if it's an attack on their identity, they're probably going to need some mentoring, coaching, guidance through that. There's no one route, but taking the pause, slowing down, put on Spotify, give yourself a song, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing that this is kind of everyone's got a varying relationship with rejection and validation. And sales is probably one of the few jobs where you're going to have to face both of those things probably on a daily basis. And yeah, I suppose that's one of the things that we talk about when we're interviewing people, really trying to get into what is that relationship like with you, so there's no surprises down the road. Because, you know, everyone's got their own number, haven't they, in their head of, that was the 70th rejection, now I'm finally fuming, I'm going to go and smash the coffee machine up. You know, so having an understanding.
Have you ever tried the, this is from Marcus through a guy, Rory, who'd be a friend. So Rory, I know, was getting pissed off at the rejections. And Marcus told him to draw a grid 10 by 10. And the goal is to get to 100 no's. And as soon as you get to a yes, you've messed up. You got to start again. So he would sit with an X and mark, there's one. He said he'd get to about 10. Like, fuck, there's a yes. Right, back to the start. New grid, let's go again. So, like, and I was saying, like, maybe attach a prize for your team. If you fill this grid to 100 no's and you've got proof of 100 no's, you get, I don't know, fucking a 50 quid voucher or whatever it is for you.
That's good.
Because it's not...
I like it, but... I know some of our teams would probably fuck it up on purpose.
Yeah, the prize can't be greater than the reward for the yes.
yeah, exactly. Be like, hi, it's a cold call. Do you want to tell me to piss off?
Please do.
Please. Okay. Sean, I could sit here and talk to you all day, because I think your
very similar to me and Zach in terms of our beliefs and our mindset, and we're big believers in gratitude and following things. For people that are listening that may want to get involved with you or learn more, how could they get involved with you? What are some of your offerings and where can they find you?
The cheapest one is the free Instagram offering, 7 a.m. Monday to Friday. So it's Instagram.com/_Sean555, or if you put in solo.to/Sean555, that will take you to a link, and it has my Instagram, has my LinkedIn, and has email addresses and links to the 555 Club website, links to the hypnotherapy website. That'll take you everywhere. Or just, you know, go on Zach or Jack's page and search through the contacts of Sean and you'll find me there. Black and white photo that I took about 2 years ago that I like, so that's my profile everywhere.
I had to change my profile picture because somebody in China messaged me and said, "It's now summer, you look too hot to be wearing a jacket." So it's a photo, it doesn't matter. But that's why I had to change that.
Very impressionable, aren't you?
Okay. Easy to close me. Thank you so much, Sean. I know that the people listening would have loved that as well. There was a really good piece in there about mindset. And it's been great to chat. Thanks so much,
gentlemen. Big fans. Keep going.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.